What do you notice about these headlines? Her hair may be red, but she's no bleeding heart. Kitten Heels must put foot down on immigration now. These women beside the men. By anyone's standards, your choice of footwear, outfit or hair colour shouldn't determine your professional success. But when it comes to the press, it seems like anything goes, especially when you're the Prime Minister. And as our next guest discovered, even your gender falls under the microscope. Dr. Blair Williams has had her eye on female political figures for a while now. Her PhD explored gendered media and how its presence in Australia, the UK and New Zealand impacts female Prime Ministers' careers. And Blair joins us on Drive. Welcome.
Hi.
Take me back. When did you first start noticing this inequality?
I first started noticing the inequality pretty early on in Julia Gillard's prime ministerial term. Given the fact that I was about to turn 17 when she became prime minister, it kind of meant that my time into adulthood was shaped by the gendered coverage I saw around me, but it got, you know, only more gendered and even misogynistic as her term went on. And, you know, as I was in university by that stage, I wrote essays about it. And then I collaborated with the YWCA in Adelaide, towards the end of my bachelor to see, you know, what effect does this have on women and our leadership aspirations, both personal and political. So that's kind of when I started noticing and researching it. And I've just continued because it's such an important issue. And, you know, now I found with my PhD that it happens to women in other countries as well.
So take me through the evidence, Blair. What are some of the gender tropes you highlighted in this study?
So I found a framework of five gender tropes that were in the coverage of all five leaders that I looked at. So the first trope is the gender / femininity trope. And this is obvious when you see, articles remark on, that they're a woman leader or a female or a lady or a mother, essentially any word that kind of marks them as gendered. Instead of being a prime minister, they're a woman prime minister or a female prime minister. But the femininity side of that goes beyond. It emphasizes their feminine traits and draws on, you know, these feminine stereotypes. So some of the leaders were compared to being housewives or housekeepers cleaning up parliament or cleaning up the mess that the male colleagues have made, or even sexual dominatrices as well. The second trope was their appearance trope. So obviously, you know, looking at their choice of shoes, their hair, their outfit choices, assessing whether they're good or bad, choices or, you know, assessing their fashion tastes. The third trope was referring constantly to their family. So, you know, the age-old question, why doesn't she have kids? Or if she does have kids, why isn't she staying home to look after them? Questions that men rarely, if ever, receive. The fourth trope constantly referred to their first names in headings and also within articles. So, for example, you know, like Julia did this or Maggie did that, but it was so frequent. Like for Kevin Rudd, who kind of made it his personal brand of Kevin 07 and made it more like affable, to the readership and the electorate. When it was done with for these women prime ministers, they didn't really have a choice in it. And it was less affable and more disrespectful in how it was written. And then the last trope, which is kind of a strange one that I found, was that if you're not Thatcher and you're a woman prime minister from, you know, the West, you are compared to Thatcher despite your politics. So, you know, Julia Gillard, a Labour left leader, was frequently compared to Margaret Thatcher. As I remember the quote, she was called a Red Maggie. So those are the five ones I found that were consistent throughout all five leaders.
What does the coverage of Margaret Thatcher demonstrate regarding our own female leaders? I mean, why is that the case? Is it just that there are so few reference points in the West?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's because she was the historic leader. She, you know, she was the first woman in the West to become, you know, prime minister. And because of that, and because of, I guess, her iconic status as well as the Iron Lady, it's an easy stereotype or easy, comparison to grab when you're writing a story on a woman leader now. And because they are still so rare, you know, Australia has only had one woman leader. These comparisons, are easily made. But it essentially reduces these leaders to their gender because it shows that it doesn't really matter, you know, the political similarities that they have or don't have in the case of Julia Gillard. She's compared to Thatcher because they're both women. And that's quite reductive overall.
We are seeing changes in this sphere with an all-female coalition government being elected in Finland. Will that pave the way for change?
It'd be interesting to see what happens out of that. But Finland, again, is quite a different country, say, from Australia or the United Kingdom. And our tabloid and our media culture in general is quite different. I think for Finland, it would surely be a fantastic thing and would further break that glass ceiling and normalise women in political leadership and also show that, you know, a coalition leadership between five people can work. So I think it'll be a fantastic case study to watch and to see what happens and to see how they go and also how their media respond to them. But again, I think it's quite a different situation to Australia in particular.
By highlighting this inequality in the media and also, you know, more broadly in our politics, who are you hoping your study will influence?
I'm hoping that, you know, women, everyday women who see this, you know, will feel some kind of catharsis because, you know, I remember having to endure 3 years of constant gender, you know, sexism, misogyny in the media towards our, you know, first woman prime minister. And I remember many women at the time felt similar commiserations and just general feelings of sadness that this can happen in our country, and you know, to someone in such a powerful and privileged position. But I also hope that the media listens to this, that newspapers particularly reflect on not only the headlines that they have in terms of how gendered it is, but also within the article. You know, when writing stories, reflect on, you know, are you relying on these gender stereotypes? How would it sound if you were talking about a man rather than a woman in your story? And if it sounds weird, then why is that? Is it because you're relying on those stereotypes that are so frequent and common that it becomes normalized in this kind of coverage? And I'm also hoping that, you know, that women politicians might be able to see this and feel, you know, again, some kind of catharsis and also hopes that through calling it out, through raising it in the public conscious, that we can try and change the portrayal of women, all women, but particularly women politicians and political leaders in Australia, New Zealand and the UK.
Yes, imagine if we just referred to people just as people, just as the leaders they are. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Dr. Blair Williams is an associate lecturer in the School of Politics and International Relations at the ANU. Her newly published study is called From Tightrope to Gendered Trope.